Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Marlene Cohen.
You're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needleworkers.
Are we artists or stabbers today?
I went neutral on that.
Yeah, you did.
I did. Not quite sure. Hey, I will say, though, last night I finished Anasazi's song.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. That's the first thing I finished, other than maybe an ornament or two, in ages.
Uh-huh.
Because I have a bunch of stuff part way. So that was kind of cool to put that last ditch in.
Yeah. Did you post a picture of it?
No, it was late. It was one of those, I am staying up till this sucker's done.
I know the feeling. Absolutely.
Yep. So no pictures, and then I'm going to do a video, little video tour of the thing, because it's a pretty neat piece. So
yeah. Well, congratulations.
Hey, thanks. Yeah. So that's one I can take off stretcher bars.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Nice.
Now there's 20 more to do.
And you used the Called For colors in that one, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I did that because I have all three of them. It's a triptych.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I want to do all three, and they're all based off of this Arabian Nights Karen collection, Arabian Nights thread.
Yes, okay.
And so I like the colors, so I decided to just stick with them, yeah. But now that I've done this one, the others have variations, and so I'll still keep the base colors in place because I want them to be able to hang on a wall together.
Mm-hmm.
But I might play around a little bit with the others now that I have a sense of how they go together. So,
excellent.
Yeah, it was fun. So one done.
Two more to go.
Yeah, I'm not even starting those. I got to get some other things finished up too. No.
Yeah, and because you already have. There are major projects that are going to be started soon, so.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's just it. Yeah. Yeah. Lon and I need to learn to shut up because. Yeah. So anyway, that was kind of cool to finish that. This show, sponsored by Fire Poppies. And we appreciate that. Susan Winter, the Fire Poppies people. Lowry stands available from Susan. Now, order those stands, but I see on her website, that, of course, like everything else, getting shipments, she's unsure about getting shipments, and Lowry's made in England.
Mm-hmm.
So place your orders, but then be patient, basically.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
She said it a lot nicer. I'm just saying, place your order and be patient. She had some flowery, wordy thing that came out the same. She'll ship what she can, and she has another shipment on the way somewhere over the ocean, but be patient. You know, with these things, because they can't happen overnight. So there's that. And then Secret Santa series, hands-on design, Christmas Square Dance, Heart and Hand, Amy Brookin's 365 Days of Warm Woolly Welcomes, all of those series, contact the shop, Fire Poppies, and they're still open if you're in the area. But contact the shop and get on the list if you want to receive those series as they come out. She'll take care of you there, along with the Brenda Gervais Coming to America series that is starting later in the year. But Vonna was telling me that that's one of those where you get in at the beginning or you're out, or you don't get in. So if you're interested in that Brenda Gervais series, I think you need to act quickly, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was poking around on her site. Mainly I was poking around because Friday night, Jessica Grimm from Bavaria was our guest, and she was showing an egg from a Russian designer that goes on a wooden egg, but it's a needlework and beadwork that she got from Fire Poppies and from some Russian designer. And I thought, hey, I want to go see those on the Fire Poppies site. So I went looking. They're sold out. Bummer. But place an order. They're very cool. So place an order, and I'm sure that more are coming as soon as Susan can get them. But those look like great little projects. There were two of them. I just went to the website and just put in the word egg, and they came up. You know, because how many websites have needlework websites? Egg is a pretty unique term. So
sure, yeah.
But very cool stuff, and other conversations I had with Jessica, she said she had a lot of fun putting it together. So check that out. Sold out now, but I'm sure Susan will take your order. And those are a neat little project. And then another thing that she has new that I thought was pretty neat is they're small. They're from Plum Street Samplers.
Mm-hmm.
Noah's Ark Christmas. There's five of them. And Paulette has a style that so many people like. I mean, I don't know anybody who doesn't like her style. And that style comes through with these little ornament pieces with Noah's Ark Christmas. So, or Noah's Christmas Ark, it's called. Mm-hmm. So there's five of them. And Susan has those on the site, too. So go check all that out at firepoppies.com. And thanks to Susan for sponsoring the shows.
Yeah, I'm looking at these egg things right now.
Cool.
And they're beautiful. Yes.
Yeah. Wow. And Jessica said that they're quality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're from a Russian designer and they come from Russia. She said they're everything is quality on them. Threads, everything. So, yeah, they're neat.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, I was going to buy one, but they're sold out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so I'm going to actually, I said I was going to buy one. I'm going to place an order for one here as soon as, sometime today after we're done recording.
Because
I want to do one of those things. They look like they'd be fun.
Yeah. Wow.
So
it's a three-dimensional thing.
It's a wood. It's a wood. The base underneath it is an actual wood egg. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you stitch that band.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do the beadwork to contain the wood egg in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah. You don't see that kind of stuff very often.
No, you don't. No. Nope.
So there you have it. And I was thinking, depending on how that is, that band could be changed seasonally.
Sure. Well, I don't think you could. I don't think you'd want to undo it because you'd undo all the beading and everything.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't think you could actually change that band. I think you could create a whole nother egg that would be a summer egg or a whole nother egg that would be a fall egg. I don't think you'd actually change this. As I'm looking at it, the beads are attached to the band and then then all the beads are attaching to one another. I don't think you could actually change out the band.
Oh, see, I had silly visions that you could slip that egg out and
I don't think so. Guessing. I'm just purely guessing from one picture that I'm looking at right now. I don't think you could slip it out. I think when you're beading, you are basically connecting everything together and there's no slipping out happening.
Okay.
But
I'll save my idea for another time.
Yes. But Jessica would be the one to ask if she's actually assembled one of these.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yep. Well, they're pretty neat. They're pretty neat. It's a different project. And Jessica, she's a highly experienced stitcher, but she put that thing together in fairly short order. So I don't think it's, like a month-long project or anything. It's pretty straightforward. But yeah, that's neat. Neat stuff. So check that out.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, a whole bunch of announcements. Most of them you've heard before. Hannah Longstreth, Stitch Along, starts May 1. 15% off on the kits at the Sassy Jacks. Debbie Raleigh's Royal Garden starts July 5. 15% off that kit. So check those out. And then our quarantine stitch hours continue. Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. We're going to go all the way through April. Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. All of our live shows, the quarantine shows and the Friday night shows, all start at 8 o'clock Eastern, 8 p.m. Eastern. And they're on our YouTube channel. And the best way to do it is to subscribe. And then when you subscribe, you get a couple of options and choose the ringing bell one that gives you all notifications. And then I put up promos and posts and stuff usually the day of, and so like today this afternoon I'll put up a promo and set up a live show so you'll get notification, but either way just go to the channel and you should be able to log on or log on and the live show should appear mm-hmm. or an option for it. And I will call people's attention. The live shows, this is not anything we do. The live shows go into a live stream section because there's videos that get uploaded and then there's a live stream up at the top. And if you click on, like next to uploads, there'll sometimes be an arrow depending on if you're using a mobile device or a computer or a browser. There'll be a little arrow next to it. And if you click on that, then you'll see live stream. And that's where the live shows reside. And I've yet to figure out how to change that. And I'm not sure you can. But we put up the live shows. And then I'm also putting them on the FiberTalk website as we do them. So that if you subscribe at the FiberTalk website, you can just watch them off that site. But if you want to do it live, it's 8 o'clock Eastern. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday are the live shows. And subscribe and you'll get notified. So, wish I had more control over how easy it is, but I don't. I just don't.
Yeah.
Ain't my circus. So, so check us out on Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. That's just Vaughn and I stitching, split screen with us stitching. And then Friday nights are Friday Night Live. We usually try to have a guest and... it's you get to look at our mugs while we talk for an hour, hour and a half about stuff. So, you know, bring your comments, bring your questions. We often get off on tangents talking about different things. So we welcome all of that. So join us for those things. And then the big thing that we have coming up is our Easter Stitch-a-thon.
Mm-hmm.
Easter Day, April 12, noon to 6. And that was, you know, something that came up. Somebody asked in the show what day Easter was. First had to look it up because, you know, Easter. And then she wrote, this person wrote to me later and said that she's not Christian and that her calendar doesn't list Easter on it.
Hmm.
Which I get, you know, understandable. If you have a calendar for some other religion or something, I can see where they wouldn't list Easter. And then she said she looked it up and saw two Easters and really didn't know what to do. Well, there's regular Easter, and then a week after, the Greek Orthodox folks celebrate Easter.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't understand what that was. So I wrote to her and explained how that all works. So for those who don't follow the Christian Easter thing, it's April 12, noon to 6 Eastern time, and it's not all about Easter either. We're not gonna have a show about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's about stitching and needlework. So regardless of your faith, you're more than welcome in and you won't notice the difference. So, yeah. But it was just, Vaughn and I are pretty regular churchgoers and you just don't realize that there are people who don't or have a different religion, have different practices. And then when she wrote, she was apologizing. No, don't apologize. You know,
well, and I'll come from someone with a background of Judaism.
Right.
And I'll just say that I feel like most calendars that I own and have seen will at least put on like the major holidays of Easter and Christmas. And I'm trying to think if I've seen, I suppose this could be different in different parts of the world. I guess that's where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Cause I know when I was little, asking like my parents about this, like, why does this calendar say Easter? We don't celebrate Easter. Or it might've been about Christmas one way or the other. And my parents trying to explain to me, well, all calendars, you know, say that just because a lot of people do celebrate Christmas and Easter.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose I'm not going to claim that every calendar does.
Right,
so.
Right. Yeah. So it was got a little eye opening there that,
yeah.
April 12th. Yeah. Yeah. You guys need more holidays.
Well, we have lots of holidays. They just don't get published on calendars. Think about that.
Okay? I know. Cause if you delve into it, you guys have something going all the time.
Yeah. And they're usually at odd times and at, Passover is also, I mean, it's usually around the same time that, Easter is, or around the same time period. And I'm sorry to say, I don't know off the top of my head when the first night of Passover is this year, but, you know, like the importance of Easter to those in the Christian faith, and while, you know, wanting to gather in church services and so on is not going to happen this year, those in the Jewish faith are not going to be gathering in homes for Passover Seders. So it's all going to be very different this year.
Yeah. When I was in school, I used at college, I used to date a girl, woman, we'll go with woman.
Yeah.
Who was Jewish. I mean, they practicing Jewish, regular.
Yeah.
The whole bit. Most enlightening. Really was an education to learn all these holidays and what they mean. Mm-hmm. And how they fit into the Bible, and it was really an excellent education. I really, because I mean, I just grew up, you know, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, you know, Christian, and you knew the Jewish faith existed, but you know, didn't pay attention. There was no reason to, but that it was just really enlightening. And then it for me, with my faith, then it what the Jewish people do with all of their celebrations really fits in quite nicely in terms of the history of the Bible and all the events. And so for me, it was a real plus to have that extra education that I got real time. And it just changed my whole outlook on, it wasn't an outlook. It was just an appreciation for a completely different faith and what the practices are, but then a faith that is very much tied to Christianity at some point. So,
Yeah,
it's good. So, yeah, just one of those left turn side light things. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just cool how it all fits together and then how the practices go on throughout the year to keep you guys aware of your position in the greater universe. And I think there's some real power there because with that regular course correction that you guys get, it just kind of keeps you oriented. And I think that's, it's a good thing. Yeah. So, okay. Wow. That ends our religious segment.
Religious segment of today's 5 o'clock.
Yeah. No, it's just, you know, I've always carried that with me. And it's always had great meaning to me in the way that it fits in with what I believe and practice. So it's, a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good to be exposed to those things.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
Yep. All right. So we have the Easter thing going. Oh, that's right. We were talking about that. And then we did a left turn.
Yes.
So noon to 6 Eastern time.
Otherwise known as April 12th. If you just want to focus on the day.
Yes.
Okay.
After all of that, thank you. Yeah, after all of that, April 12th.
Okay.
Well played. Thank you.
Yep, just saying. Yep.
We have sponsors, Sassy Jacks, Shepherd's Needle, Acorn and Threads, Fire Poppies, and Teal Elder, who is a listener, regular listener and participator, going to sponsor a half hour. So that's fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah.
We have a bunch of giveaways. Arlene will be joining us a couple, three times in there to give Vanna or me a break. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate that. And we have already a ton of giveaway charts, projects, kits, you name it, lined up. And we're lining up guests. And so we'll have guests every now and then for 10 or 15 minutes, whatever it is. We'll just have an afternoon filled with stitching talk and stitching and guests and giveaways and so on and so forth. So we appreciate all the sponsors and all the people who have are giving away. Several designers are shipping us stuff or are saying, I'll send you pictures and we'll ship stuff directly to the winners. And we appreciate that. So all of that going on April 12th, Easter Sunday for the afternoon. So if you're... Most of us will be at home alone, can't be with family, can't get together with friends. So we'll fill that afternoon for you.
Yep. Yeah. Get together with your stitching buddies virtually. How does that sound?
Right.
Yeah.
And it's all live on the YouTube channel. So You know, and if you have one of those smart TVs, here's a tip. Most of the smart TVs, you can put the YouTube app in on your TV and then log in through that, and you could just put it right on your TV. Just a suggestion. You don't have to watch it on your phone. You put it right up on the TV. The rest of the family isn't interested. Tell them to find another TV. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, lots of giveaways. Get several people, designers, several stitchers. Hey, I bought two of these. Can I send you one to give away? Yep, thank you. Shops are putting together packages, especially the sponsoring shops, putting together packages of giveaways that are pretty impressive. So it's going to be a fun afternoon. And, Arlene will be there. We got a few Works by ABC charts to give away. So that's good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So that's going to be fun. So catch us live on those nights, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and then join us for the Easter Sunday Stitch-a-thon.
Mm-hmm.
There we have it.
Yes.
Okay. We're both quarantined.
Yes.
I work at home. And you know, I keep hearing about all these people who have this time on their hands, and that's not been the case for me because magazine work continues, fortunately. Mm-hmm. And I haven't had any extra time. And you've been busy, and you're learning how to with your students to do e-learning instead of having the kid right next to you. So that's got to be a challenge. So has this given you, this quarantine thing, given you any extra time, or is it pretty much business as usual for you too?
It's definitely not business as usual for me. I definitely have added into my stitching time, especially in the mornings, as I've just, my schedule is kind of very much upended right now, and the way I've been working and the different aspects of my teaching life, have changed a little bit. And some of it's flexible and some of it's not flexible, but I have felt that I've needed more stitching in my life, in the meditative qualities that it provides and the calming qualities that it provides. And so I have been stitching more and more in the daytime hours. I mean, I will always have an evening stitch session. That's just always been my routine. It, has only been at certain points and certain times and blah, 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 that I would necessarily stitch at other times of the day. But pretty regularly in the last couple of weeks, I've been trying to have like at least one other stitch session at some other point during the day. You know, in some ways I've gotten back a little bit of time if I just take into account driving time from one place to another. You know, that's that, I know some friends who have jobs that, you know, if they had like an hour commute, you know, they've just gotten back 2 hours of their life.
Right, right.
And how they've chosen to use that 2 hours has varied. I won't say I had that much time in the car, but so that alone is a little bit of time that I can certainly devote to doing that. But really, it's been more, and I talked a little bit this about this on the FlossTube video that I posted this week, that I've just felt that I've needed it. And as if you've been following any sort of like good news and do what you need to do and support yourself kind of vibes that are out there, whether it be on Facebook, Instagram, so on, there really is an element of you need to take care of yourself during these times. And for me and for a lot of stitchers out there, that does include, you know, stitching. And I'm feeling so grateful that I am working on a project right now that is really speaking to me, and really, I really want to be stitching on it, because that's not always the case. There's definitely been times where I have been working on a project because it's what's in front of me, and because I need to get it done, because maybe there's a deadline or blah, blah, blah. So this is, I'm just, you know, every day is day by day, week by week, you know, things could change on a dime.
Right. Right.
But as of right now, I have gained a little bit of time during the day, and I'm trying to use it very much toward a good stitching session during the day because I feel like I need it.
Right.
And I'm glad for that.
Yeah. Yeah. It just hasn't been for me at all. Hasn't really changed anything, but, Yeah, clearly, if you pay any attention in the floss tube area, it has freed up a lot of time for a lot of people because there's more videos being put up, more stitching getting done, and that's fun because it helped. You know, there's that floss tube factor at play again in terms of keeping a community occupied and together and feeling like you're not alone when you're stuck in your house alone. Mm-hmm. Or with kids who are, you're about to wring their necks. But it's, you know, the power of that is very much present and helpful. And, it's been a lot of people doing a lot of videos, which is fun. So,
yes, absolutely.
So it's a good thing. And, definitely check out Arlene's new floss tube because you get a little in depth on that new project, which if we can get to today, we'll get to, but, make sure I mention that up front because that's beautiful. That just the crushed cranberries ground cloth, you know, that'd be good enough for me right there. So, but doing some amazing things with it. But it's interesting to me because and we talked about this with Gay Ann Rogers on Sunday, this whole therapy thing, and it really does. Play into it because you know, if you turn on the TV and the news, all you get is this doom and gloom. And there was, I was listening to, I think it was Chris Cuomo this morning on CNN. And he mentioned he has the virus. And so he's quarantined at home and doing his shows from home. But he mentioned about focusing on positive things and don't get locked into the news and the, you know, the death count and the infected people counts and all that, because, you know, it's always going to be there, but to focus on positive things. And that's where needlework gives us that outlet.
Absolutely.
And I think that's, you know, how many times have we talked about the power of needlework beyond just simply making something with needle and thread? It's kind of an ideal activity, art form at this time, because you can just escape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just share this. I had on the video I posted, I had shared a positive story and asked people to share links or whatever they might have of positive things. Someone shared with me an Instagram account, which I'm now following, and I just want to spread the word about it. It's Good News_Movement. And all they're doing is posting positive things that are out there. And I encourage you to go check it out. They have over 900,000 followers, so it's a big account. So again, Good News and then _movement. It just gives you some good things to focus on and look at and think about. And some of them are the virus related, you know, people cheering for patients that have recovered and so on and so on. But some of them are other related things. And it's just nice that there are some things like that to focus on out there. So,
yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's pretty easy to find the bad news.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So we need to look for the good news and we need to share it with one another.
Yeah. Good News_movement.
Correct. On Instagram. Yes. I mean, I haven't even checked it. I know a lot of Instagram accounts have a Facebook account also, but I'm following it on Instagram. So, yeah.
Okay. That's a good one. Yep. I'll be signing up.
Yep.
I will. We talked with Gay Ann about several things Sunday. If you missed that show, go back and listen to it or go listen to it because, I mean, basically, Gay Ann put together the show. She wanted to talk about needlework as therapy, needlework as a release, an escape, a comfort. And it was a really good discussion, as all discussions with Gay Ann are. I mean, she's always just fascinating to talk to. And then she and Vonna got into a discussion that I just was glad to sit back and just listen. But I highly recommend that you do that. And that's a fourth one that Gay Ann has done with us. And every one of them, I think are just really, I just enjoyed them. I enjoyed listening to them. But we were talking about the whole thing, make your design your own. Mm-hmm. And, cause Gay Ann is a big proponent of that. All the beautiful things she puts together of make it your own, change it. do something with it that makes it you. And she really pushes that hard. And then, of course, she talks about people that will contact her and say, you know, I want to do this thing, do your design perfect like you. How do I get this done? Mm. And I love when she says, you can't do it perfect because it isn't perfect to start. I just love that. Mm. I'll talk to her all day long. I literally will. I would just talk to her about needlework all day long. But she talks about if you have a color and you don't like it, change it. Don't force yourself to stitch it. Change it. Mm. And several things like that. If you don't like the way this is put together, this stitch, find another stitch. There's thousands of them. Go find one, put it in there, and make it what you want it to be and the way you like it. And I think that's good words. And, you know, obviously what people should be striving to do, because it really does add a new dimension. And when the piece is done, you can hold up and say, yeah, Gay Ann Rogers designed this, but, you know, I really liked it to go this way. And so I did this and this and this. And then, you know, it's yours. It's, mm-hmm. it's your own creative thing. But I was thinking while she was talking about that and while I was editing that podcast, you know, there's a group, I don't know, there's certainly an element of needlework stitchers out there, a body of them, that maybe don't have a large stash. And so when you say to them, if you don't like it, change it. Well, that means a trip to the store and figuring out what to do, and or assumes that they have disposable cash to do that, where they might have been able to put together enough money to buy this kit and then be happy with it. Mm-hmm. And then you come along and say, well, change it. Well, they may not have that. And so I got to thinking about those people and how you build a stash, because you have... I'm sure more stuff than you'll ever use in your life. Mm-hmm. I know I do, that I've accumulated over the years. And of course, Vanna's stash is legendary. Mm-hmm. As are several others. She's not unique there. But you know, I started thinking about that. And so then, all right, you say to somebody like that, we'll change it. Well, I don't have the extra $5 for a skein of silk to change it, though I'd mm-hmm. like this color. And so, all right, then, so I'm stitching it the way it's set up and the way I purchased it. But then what if I want to do that down the road? How do I build up a stash so that I have that as an option? And so then my first thought is, well, obviously when you're done with a project, you're going to have leftover thread. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the seeds for stash for just about all of us mm-hmm. is a couple projects done and now I've got all this thread. That's extra. And there's in several instances, enough that I can do something with it. It's not like 3 feet of this thread. Well, you might as well throw it away. But yeah, there's enough that I need to keep this because I'll use it. So that starts. But then I got, and that's what I wanted to ask you, how you go about that. How do you build your stash? And of course, from a designer, you have a different need than I do because I don't design. Mm-hmm. But when you go to a shop, do you see thread, buy it? how do you go about that?
So it's a great question because I, in general, so much of this is about watching FlossTube and seeing how different stitchers go about accumulating their stash. I have never considered myself as someone who has accumulated stash just for the sake of it, with one exception, and I'll come to that in a second. The stash that I have, I'll just focus on threads for the moment, is really about the leftover threads from projects. And it's about, you know, how many years I've been stitching and the variety of projects that I've done. And that has just produced a variety of threads that have been left over and have been tucked away in various bins and containers. And I'm not going to claim they're very well organized right now. So that when I am trying to look for something new or something different and I go into those bins, the containers, it's almost like rediscovering. Oh yeah, that's right. These threads came from that project. Oh, I forgot that I had used this from that and so on. So It's hard for me to really give any like straight advice or thoughts about someone who's a brand new stitcher who might want to say, oh my gosh, I wish I could change this green to a blue, and but I don't have the access or the ability to get that. Thinking about different stitches when appropriate, or that's not so much appropriate for when you're doing a cross stitch. But certainly, as you said, holding on to the threads that are left over. Now, I do know plenty of people who will go into stores and will, you know, look at the threads and they will just see something that they haven't seen before and it just really appeals to their eye, and they will get 2, 3, 5, 10, whatever, just to have. And they will say, I'll use this at some time. Or there are people who join the various thread clubs that are out there that exist for, you know, once a month they get threads and they just sort of build up a stash in that way. And that's awesome. That's great. You know, if that's something that you have the money to do and a desire to have that kind of collection to build up, go for it. Those kinds of, again, I've never worked that way because I've always tended to want, when I'm starting a new project, it's like I want to assemble what I need for that project. There are times, I won't deny it, that I might be doing something small and I do wish that I could just dig into what I have right here and not have to go to a store. And so, yes, that's when I go into the containers of the leftover threads. And we'll get to fabric in a second, and hope that I can just find what I will be able to use. Now, I said there was one exception to the whole buying stash without having a purpose for it. And that one exception was, and I want to say the year was 2011, somewhere around then. What had been my L&S at the time was closing. Very sad, you know, because not only were they my needlework store, they were also my framing store. And so they were getting rid of all their stock. And I want to say they first started with 25% off and then 35% off and then 50%. You know, they were, you know, getting rid of everything.
Right. Yeah.
And that was basically the only time that I could really think of in my life that I said, you know what, maybe I should load up on a bunch of threads that seem appealing to me.
Right.
And so I do have like a Ziploc baggie of threads, which is probably not the best way to keep them, but whatever. That the Ziploc baggie is actually labeled threads from the name of the store. And there have been times that I have used some threads from that store, from that baggie. But I think there's more threads that haven't been used than have been. Again, because I so admire the people that have these stashes that are able to just go stash diving and find what they need. I tend to, when I'm starting a project, just want to find the things that exactly work for that project. And it just seems to be that I don't have those things on hand. I'm also, I admit, kind of frugal, and I don't tend to buy things that I don't need. I'll wait till I need them to buy them. And that's partially why I haven't built up that much of a stash. It's partially why I don't just buy threads for the sake of having them. In general, but I know there's some people that love doing that kind of stuff. Fabric is an interesting related because I know people who have such amazing fabric stashes, and when they want to start a new project, it doesn't require ordering something. It doesn't require going to a store. They just go into their pile and find something that works. I have very limited fabric pieces around here. Most of which are just like the leftover pieces. If I've gotten a fat quarter of something and haven't used it all, and I cut off the part that I haven't used, and that part is significant, so I put it in a container. And so that part might work well if I'm doing like a small of some kind, but if I'm starting a large piece, again, I want to go buy the piece of fabric that's going to work for that piece. And I need to decide what that's going to be in that moment.
Yeah.
It's very rare that I can, it's just, oh my God, it's not the way my brain works. Fully recognizing there are so many people out there that this is exactly how their brain works.
Right.
They have a whole stash. They go shopping in their closet or in their container or their whatever. So it's like, I wish I could have more accumulated pile of fabric than I do, but that's okay because for any given project, it's like, I don't know what I want until I'm right there. And then I want to be able to come up with exactly what I want for that project. I don't want to limit myself with, well, this is what I have on hand. This, I have to choose something from what I have on hand. And yes, I have done that with a few small things. But major or larger projects, I don't want to limit myself with what I quote have on hand. Then again, if I could have some amazing collection on hand, it wouldn't be a problem.
Right.
So I'm not the typical stash collector. I have a lot of stuff, but I don't feel like I have a typical stash like many stitchers that I know. I admire their stashes a lot. I just don't have the same thing.
Yeah. Now, see, for me, I have been known to just buy some threads because I liked them. For instance, Jessica Grimm was talking on last Friday's show about the House of Embroidery in South Africa somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And how those folks and how they have built up a business and have helped so many people in the area. And so I wrote to her after the show and said, because she was showing blue threads on the show to talk about them, and she had chosen them because she knew blue is my favorite color. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote to her and said, please send me a selection of those threads, the different kinds, because there was some ribbon, there was some mm-hmm. silk threads, things. Send me a collection of blue, dark blues and blues that all go together because I have a project and I think it would work for that and I want to play around. And so I did order a set of threads from her. Mm-hmm. And I have been known to walk into stores and to buy something specific and see a couple of threads and say, you know, I'm just going to take these with me and throw them in the drawer and you never know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had instances where, more than one instance where I've been able to do a small project and knew that I could do it all with what I had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might have to change a color here and there, but generally I could just do it all. And so that was kind of fun to be able to just grab some threads and go, not have to go to a store and had them and they weren't assigned to a project. So I could just play.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that. One place that I have intentionally collected threads is DMC.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a sale, Michael's or Joann's or a sale at a local needlework store, I have been known to just go through and just randomly grab colors, you know, just because eventually they'll come up, you know.
Do you check to see what you already own, or do you literally do this randomly?
No, I have a piece of software on the phone that tells me what I own. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because
it's not random. You've checked to see.
No.
Okay.
Well, no, but then they're random in that they are not colors I specifically need for something.
Sure.
And so, like, I might pick up four or five yellows because I don't have those,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of build it up there without spending really any money at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have them, and then you come along and you need a project and you just happen to have that color. And, so I've done that, but, the rest of mine is just like you, leftovers from projects. And I always buy extra with projects. I'll kind of go through and eyeball it and say, all right, it looks like they're calling for one skein, but if I make three mistakes, I'm going to wish I had another skein. So I'll buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just detest working on a project and you get to a point and you run out and,
yep.
you know, because you tore it out a couple of times, not because the designer didn't spec enough. It's just that, you know, I tore it out. I didn't like the way this was looking. So I did it again. And then you come up and, oh man, now I got to get a skein. I got to stop here. Or the store can't have it or doesn't have it. They have to order it. So, mm-hmm. you know, if I think it looks like I need the full skein to do the project, then I'll get a second one. just because I hate being in that position. But now cloth is a different, the ground cloth is a different thing. So what do you do with that? Do you, same thing for you. You don't, you buy as you go.
Basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
I buy as I go. But again, as I said, if I, when I'm done with a piece that has not used the full piece of fabric, because mostly I am purchasing from a store that sells as fat quarters or fat eighths, but I'm mostly purchasing fat quarters. I'm not always using the fat, the whole piece. I'm cutting off what I haven't used. I'm saving those. So yes, there have been times I'm able to do a small piece on the leftovers. But yeah, most of the time I am, when I'm starting something new, I'm going to look for a new piece of fabric at a store or, you know, order online or something. But it's very rare that I have something or, you know, in my stash that can work for it. And again, the exception is with small stuff where I just sort of feel like I have to make something that I have work because this is just a small thing.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of depends.
Yeah. Now see, I have a sizable piece of 18 point needle point canvas that I keep. I always keep so that at any given time I can cut out a piece even for a medium sized project. So I keep that.
And
I
white?
Keep it in white and off white or like a cream or an ecru.
Okay.
You know, just something very basic.
And
I don't buy extras of colors because that's too, one time use for so many of those and then I have a piece of white Congress cloth, a sizable piece that, that I've used. Mm-hmm. And then I have a couple of linens. One is platinum, and don't ask me who makes it. I have no idea and don't really care. But I bought a full yard of this platinum because I liked it a lot. And I've used it, big chunks of it, more than once. And then I was in the store the other day for a thread. I forget what it was. But a lady I know, was in there, and she was buying a piece of linen. And they were going to cut it in half. She wanted half of what they had.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked it. I said, I'll take that other half right there because I just really liked it. I have no plans for it. But but now that's been a couple of weeks, and now I think I have a plan for it. So that was a really out of left field thing for me to grab that one. But it's a color I'd not seen. It was a fairly neutral color. And the extra half was a nice size and a good size. And I'll take that. Just, you know, out of the blue. But generally I don't, like linens, I don't accumulate those because I don't use enough of them. You know, it's not like I'm burning through them. I've got a lot of linen, but it's all for projects.
Yeah.
So I don't do that, but needlepoint canvas and Congress cloth. Yeah. I like to keep a sizable piece of each so that if I decide to do a project that I, you know, a chart that I've purchased that I can just pull it out, cut off a piece and go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do keep that, but I know some people buy linen, like they'll go through a store and buy a half dozen pieces of linen. Just, they got no plans for them, but they like them. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So I do keep 18 point canvas, 18 count canvas, mostly because the canvas work designs that I have designed, I sell on my Etsy store as an option. I sell a small piece of canvas to go with them.
Yes.
So I keep a supply of canvas, but I have also used that for myself. When I have needed a piece, I will just cut off a piece of that. So I just, as you were saying, I'm realizing, oh, I do actually have some 18 count canvas. And I'll also share my DMC collection. The way I collected what I had, you know, it's just funny to think back on this now. It's the evolution of it really was buying because I needed it. And so for whatever number of years, it was just buying as I needed. And then it grew and grew and grew. You know, I'd keep track of what I had and bought for whatever project I needed. I would add to it as I went. And then at some point, I couldn't tell you exactly what year, I stumbled upon I'm pretty sure the designer's Heart's Content. It was a design she did of a flower basket, a huge flower basket, where at the time she designed it, it included all the DMC colors. Mm. Are you familiar with this design?
No, no.
And I want to say it was designed like somehow the year 1999 is sticking out with me. And maybe I came across it a couple of years later. And I was just so intrigued by the idea. Wow. It uses all the TMC colors.
That's powerful.
I decided I want to buy that. I want to do that. And so then I could justify buying all the rest of the DMC that I didn't already own. and so, you know, I remember like printing out a list from the DMC website and checking, you know, very clearly checking off what did I already own? What did I need to purchase? Waiting till a sale. Maybe I divided it into like two sales or something like that. But at least at one period of time, I could say I owned all the DMC because I was going to be using all the DMC. Like I justified it. That said, it's one of the few projects that I can clearly say in my life I did give up on. It was not something I enjoyed working on. But I am right. I'm looking at it right now. It's the Heart's Content. Maureen Appleton is the design. It's a beautiful flower basket. I've seen the model of it in person. It's gorgeous. And it does have all the DMC. I'm trying to see if I can catch a get a year of it. That and more DMC colors have come out since
right,
that
right,
time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's called Floral Finesse. That's the name of it. Over the years since then, I know a few of them have fallen through the cracks, and I can't necessarily find ones and blah 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 that I knew I owned at some point. But that's where my DMC collection came from because I could justify that I was going to be using all the ones that I had purchased. So
that's a heck of a design challenge too.
Yes. Yep. She and there's a story I know inside the the introduction of the chart. There was a story behind it. There was some connection with the DMC company, and she, sort of as a thank you to them, she basically decided she was going to. It was her own personal challenge. Can I make a design? You know, if you think about it, there are some colors that you cannot possibly. I mean, the idea of using flowers is great because you could get a lot of colors in there.
Right.
But there's some pretty strong colors along with all the pastels and along with all the this and then that. And how do you put them all together? And she's got them in there. So, yeah,
that's the challenge.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cause there's 300 plus by a long shot, right?
I want to say now it's over 400.
Over 400.
Don't 100% quote me on that. And this design definitely has like, let's just say 375 or something like that.
A stack of threads. Holy smokes.
And it was just, like I said, I worked on it for a little bit, got a couple of flowers done. It wasn't something that I enjoyed. And there's really only been two or three projects that I can think about in my life that I've, you know, just truly just given myself permission to say, you know what, when you don't enjoy it, it's time to stop. And yeah. as much as I wanted to do it for the sake of being able to say I did it, you know, I let it go. I still have the pattern. I could pick it up anytime I want to. but I got some other priorities going on right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting one there. Wow. But then you do that. Now you have all the DMC colors or most of them. Do you find when you use up a skein of a color, do you replace it?
Mm-mm.
No,
you just not necessarily. Yeah. I mean, and truthfully, if I'm doing a new project that is going to be using DMC in significant amounts, I will buy new DMC floss to go with it.
Uh-huh.
If I'm doing a project which I know is only going to use a little bit, I'll just take what I have for my stash.
Yeah.
So it's actually pretty rare that I'm using up a skein that's from my stash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's because it's not, because I'm only going into the stash when I'm using relatively small amounts, if that makes sense.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's just how I work. And here it is. It's 390 colors are in this project.
Oh,
390. Yep.
And quite frankly, I can understand why you lost interest in it, because I would, something like that, I would absolutely lose interest. Because, I mean, and you know some of those colors, you're using like 2 feet of the thread and that's it.
Not even, I think. Yeah. There's some that, not even. I think she even acknowledged that in the, if I'm remembering correctly, in the introduction, she fully acknowledges some of the more challenging colors to get in there. You only are doing a very few cross stitches of those.
Yeah,
so,
Yeah, no, not my kind of project by any stretch.
But it's beautiful to see if you ever get a chance to see the model of it.
I'm sure it's stunning when you got all those colors and all the shades that you can put into something. I'm sure it's absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
But nah, pass. Pass. Another part of making it your own, and here we are. Every time we do this, we run out of time.
Yeah.
That I found really interesting in terms of making it your own. And I've been listening lately, watching is Country Stitchers, Deb and Liz, is it? I'm terrible about that stuff. Anyway, Country Stitchers, Fosstube. I want to say Deb and Liz, but I'm not sure. But anyway, the most recent one was Deb and her daughter giving a tour of a hallway in her house where she has a lot of needlework hanging and explaining and all that was nice. You know, that's, it's fun to see what people have done and, you know, whatever. But what stuck out for me from that, and I really took this, it was a real big takeaway for me. She explained in two or three of her designs where she had, in one, she had added trees. It was a kind of a scenic thing, and she said she put a tree here and one there and so on and so forth. And in another one, she had taken motifs from other projects and inserted them to make, basically make up her own design. And I thought that that was the first time I had seen someone show what they had done along those lines. And it got me thinking about if you're, you know, anybody's thinking about, you know, I'd like to design something, that would be a way to get your toe in the water. Would be to grab some pieces from other things and make your own design. And or I have this project that I'm working on and boy, I really feel it needs another element. And then just go to another project and lift something and put it in there. And it was that one was, it made me stop and pay attention because they were going on and on about the different projects, and that's nice. And I'd look at them, and I was stitching at the time, and then I finally, when she started doing that, I just stopped and watched because I wanted to see what she had done, and I just thought it was a real world, actually someone who's done it, way of approaching at least getting your toe in the water with creating your own design, but certainly making a project you're working on your own by adding something. And so it doesn't take any design work per se. It just takes having enough awareness of other projects you've done and go get that little piece out of there and put it in. And,
yeah. I haven't seen that particular video that you're referring to, but I feel like I've definitely seen other videos or even I want to say mentions on Instagram and stuff where I have seen people kind of dipping their toes, as you say, into making changes to make it their own. And I just, you know, I just encourage those who have never done it before to kind of look for those examples because they are out there and, you know, be willing to give it a try. And, you know, that you can find whether it's changing colors or whether it's, like you said, adding a tree or taking away a tree or finding a motif that you don't like and you're replacing it with something that you do like. Those examples are out there, you know, you can really be inspired by what other stitchers have done. Yeah.
Cause if you have a scenic thing and you say, well, I'd like to have another house in this thing and here's an area over here, it would fit, go to some sampler somewhere and get a house and
exactly
put it in. And if it's too big, don't do so many rows and make it smaller, you know, the specked color doesn't fit. Nobody said you had to stitch that. Change it. And you can, then you add, you get what you want out of the project and it's now it's your own. And yeah, so it was just, that one was enlightening in that she, And you could tell that for her, it was almost a natural thing to do. Like, mm-hmm. It wasn't like she had to stop and plan it out. I just got a sense that she does this on a regular basis. So it was no big deal for her to do that. Mm-hmm. And effective. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. We did it. Filled up another hour. And the list is, yeah. Yeah, the topic list is longer. Oh, well, happens every time.
Happens all the time. Yep.
Yep. Okay, so thanks to Fire Poppies. Order up those Lowry stands, be patient, and go buy some Russian eggs.
Yeah.
I'm going to get me a Russian egg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. So thanks to Susan and the Fire Poppies people for sponsoring the show. Join us tonight for our quarantine stitch hour, Friday night, Saturday night, and so on and so forth. And then mark on your calendar Easter Sunday, noon to 6 Eastern time, for our big Easter Stitch-a-thon, prizes, talk, stitching, Arlene, all of it.
All of it.
All of it. Works by ABC. I knew we wouldn't get to it. Go check out Arlene's most recent, just put up here a couple, 3 days ago, Floss Tube, to see her new project. You will enjoy learning about her new project. Next time we talk about that, because you'll be all further along, because that is gorgeous. Thanks. Gorgeous.
Thanks. Thank you.
The ground cloth alone is gorgeous. And then what you're doing with it. I mean, where'd you find that?
The ground cloth?
Yeah.
Silk Weaver, which is a part of Needlewear's Delight, which is my L&S. That's a dyed fabric from them.
Ooh, man. Yep. That's a special one. And they have nice linen, from what I understand.
They're a Zweigart distributor. So they dye using Zweigart fabric. Okay. Yep.
Well, crushed cranberry. Man, that's a nice one.
Yep.
Yeah. That is a nice one. Okay. Thanks, Fire Poppies. Thanks, Arlene. We're out.
Take care.